Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-host, Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome to another live episode of Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. I'm your co-host, Scott Fullerton. Kevin will be on in just a couple of moments. It is now, we are at Thursday, March 24th, and we welcome you back to another fantastic show. I know a lot of you guys tuned in. We told you last week that we're going to have Ilio Cruz on today. Unfortunately, he had to take his mom in for a small procedure. She's all right, thank goodness. But he's going to be back next week. And, of course, Ilio is got the new job as Executive Director of Faith in America. And he also is putting together the Faithfully LGBT Photo Series. So we're really looking forward to talking to him next week. But as a trooper that she is, we have the fantastic Ann Walker coming in as to save the day, as she does, in just a few moments. But, Kevin, how has your week been?
Ah, this has been an amazing week, my friend, and it's another Thursday, which seems to arrive just in the nick of time because I'm dying for these shows now. I'm absolutely thrilled that Anne is able to come on because she's an old friend, and yeah, it's just wonderful to be here. So much is going on.
It's crazy. Every week it gets a little more exciting, a little more fun. We have so many people wanting to be on the show. We have so many people we want to be on the show.
Yep.
And we're just getting such great reviews and all sorts of listens, and I'm really happy for that. And I hope everyone out there listening takes the time, come into our chat room, ask questions of our guests live, and then please share these recordings afterwards. All of our shows, once they're up, we put them on our website, www.healingstigmaradio.com. You can listen to all of our past guests, and we're just so blessed, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and the site, I don't know if you've seen it lately. It's even got the stuff for iTunes now, SoundCloud. It's got the hashtag and everything right on there, so you can get everything literally from that site, from past shows to what's coming. And I just think it's really looking wonderful. It's such a honor to be part of this. It really is.
Well, we are so fortunate to have Nao taking care of it for us. We have a web designer that just anything we ask, she takes care of. It's just fantastic. So we really want to send a shout out to her. But let's talk a little bit more. Any new news on our Lambda Literary Award? Are you getting ready to go? When is the actual award show?
Oh, that's good. That's exciting. Thanks for asking. The Lambda Literary Awards are going to be, I'm trying to get the date right now, June 6th in New York City. So that's going to be a really fun affair, some good elbow rubbing, and, really great folks are going to be there. I'm so honored. And I just found this out as well, and I don't even know if I told you this, Scott, so we're going to do this live on air. How about that?
Breaking news. I love it.
Yeah, things do snowball. So because of the being named a finalist for the My Riestrat, my debut poetry collection, I feel it's like this little book that went out and it is now, taking on a life of its own. I'm so proud of it. I really am. But we were contacted by the Gay and Lesbian Review, and they will be publishing one of my poems. We're going to kind of hold on to that for a second. They're going to be publishing it in their July-August summer issue, which means regardless of what happens at the Lambdas, people still believe in me. But when you think of going to the beach this summer and people that, want to find out what's good to read and all the rest, I am so honored that they reached out, especially, as a bisexual poet, to be included in the Gay and Lesbian Review is exactly what we're talking about, this idea of a rainbow movement where everyone represented by creativity and expression that's positive and gets out there. And, you know, for our community, we have so much potential and I think positive results. And oftentimes without expression, you don't know about it.
Exactly. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, I tell you, and I still, your artistry in the show is making all these things happen. My luck has been just getting better and better and better ever since you asked me to do this show. And remember, tonight, this is really wonderful, is the fact, or afternoon for Anne. Anne was the first radio show I did. She asked me to be on her show, and I think that's when you first heard me on the radio. I'm not
exactly.
Sure.
Anne is the one that brought us together. We're going to have to make sure we talk to her about that, too. I don't think she even has a clue about that, but I did. I was able to see you on Anne's show last year.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah, this video
so
without you.
Yeah. Amazed by your story and how you've turned those lemons into lemonades, as we say so often on the show, and had to have you on my regular show. And then when I was kind of looking into doing a little more serious subjects, you were just a natural transition. So Anne really started this all for us.
Yeah, Anne Scott. They are fantastic. I love, and I can't wait to find out what she's up to. But I think, I'm not sure if this is true or not, did I hear that her show got picked up for a fourth season, the one she does, Child of the 70s?
Child of the
70s. We're going to have to ask her.
Actually, the fourth season, it just debuted not too long ago. We're going to have to ask her all about that. She's on this fantastic new web series. And not only that, has it gone on to its fourth series, she's starting a new one that they're in the middle of fundraising for now called, which I love the title, Please Don't Eat the Pansies, which I think
Please
is hilarious.
Pansies, yeah.
So it's another web series
busy.
That she'll
I love
be
her.
Starting. They're writing that one right now and raising funds for that. So she is just such a great actress and such a great human being that I'm really looking forward to that.
I know. It's just, and, you know, you look at what she does, and, I mean, you know, here she is. She has the radio show that I just, and live show, and what would it be, a video as well. And I just felt like I was totally welcomed into something that was so much fun. You know, like it was into Anne's parlor, let's say, and Scott was there, and we just had this great time. And then you look at what else she does, and she is so busy. Her energy is amazing. You know, she's always in something pre-production, post-production, you know, in-production, filming. I'm in awe of her. I really am.
I am, too. I absolutely love her. And she's coming on a great day. I mean, we were kind of set for Eliel, but there's so much going on in the news right now. And the great thing about Anne is she's so up on culture. She's up on politics. She's
events.
Up on everything going on with everything happening this week in Brussels.
With an opinion.
We definitely have to – our heart goes out to Brussels. We definitely want to take a second now to just acknowledge that horrible thing. But it's been really kind of weird the way a lot of people have been reacting to it. And I can't wait to see what Anne's reaction is to their reactions, especially some of our presidential candidates. But we got to talk about that. It's just going to be a crazy time to talk to her about that. But one thing I wanted to go to first before Anne came on, because I really wanted to get your opinion on this, because in the LGBT community – we have, just this week, the North Carolina legislature pulled together a special session on yesterday. What happened is Charlotte, North Carolina, created a non-discrimination policy that was passed. It took it two times to pass. The first time last year, a lot of controversy over it. It didn't pass through the city council, even though they thought it was. A lot of controversy back at the time. Well, they brought it back up again this year, about a month and a half ago, passed this non-discrimination, which includes, I forget the wording for it, but includes where you have to have public accommodations. Public accommodations is the word I'm looking for. So it includes public accommodations. So all they've done is try to turn this into an issue of trans people in restrooms. And so it just turned into a crazy mess. So Wednesday, the legislature of the state of North Carolina called a special session just for this, and immediately in both houses passed a new law for North Carolina, the state, saying that any city's laws can be nullified from the state. If the state doesn't agree with them, the state doesn't agree with this law. So they nullified Charlotte's law, and the governor signed it already yesterday. So my big question for you in this is, we got to think about all the stigma going for all these trans men and women now who, the way the law is set, is they have to go into their own restrooms that would be assigned to them from birth. And we have people like Laverne Cox, Adrian Dowling, these really out and well-known people that are now forced to go into it. If you've not had any surgery yet, I don't even know if it happens after you've had surgery, that are going to have to go into the restrooms on their birth certificate. Can you imagine the thing that's going to be happening with this?
Well, you know, it's even more insidious than that. Let me just bring up 2 points, and in case I go too long, remind me there's two here. Okay, first of all, imagine this. Right now on the front page of the BBC online, under the Belgian terror attacks, and next to an ex-Bosnian Serb leader being sentenced to 40 years, the very next thing is a U.S. state revoking its transgender protections. That's how it's being covered. Okay,
wow.
So that's, you know, BBC World News right now. This is, you know, up there. The world is watching. Just so first of all, I just want everyone that's listening to our transgender brothers and sisters, I want them to understand the world is watching. They're not going to get away with this. Now, how that's going to play out and how that gets its coverage is very, very important because, you know, you can try and do that's the other side of this that I'm trying to catch up on this, but how this was done and how the quick vote and all this stuff was done was obviously done with that idea of, you know, like shock politics. Now, the other side of it, though, that's so horrible in this is, once again, it brings up this, and I've said this before, I believe even on the show, is you reduce it to this idea of a bathroom bill. That's what they call it, you know, and this is again, done with the effect of language taking away already any kind of reasonable dialogue about what's going on. And this is why the second point that I wanted to bring up that's so, so horrible here, the reason why this oftentimes argument that I need to do more research, I'm just going on the air now and finding out about this as well. I'm looking at it. As soon as you said it, I wanted to see how it was being covered. But the thing that I can't stand that I've heard before is that the reason why a person who is absolutely going in to use a public restroom according to what is comfortable for them so they are not victimized is suddenly the whole excuse or stigma is thrown out that if these people, first of all, are going to be able to go into our bathrooms, they're going to attack our children, they're going to attack our women. And so this whole horrible argument, you know, homophobia with pedophilia, transphobia with, again, attacking people in a restroom, these are such horrible and you know, the statistics show it's wrong. The statistics show it's false. But remember, tucked into that is this horrible, horrible stigma. And I want to take every weave out of it. And I want to make sure, again, the people affected know the world is watching. And, you know, that's the most important thing right now. How it is being covered needs to show. And as I said, I mean, you know, the rest of the world is scratching their heads at this because we know the science doesn't prove these horrible, horrible arguments that are, you know, just stigma on this. We have stigma coming up from religion. We have stigma, you know, hopefully being able to talk about what happens to people that feel victimized simply because of where they are at a certain time. It's terrible. It really is. It really is. But, yeah, it shocked me. I didn't see this one coming from North Carolina. Did you?
No, it just – well, I saw the very first part of it way back when they did the first part that didn't pass through the city council because my brother lives right outside of Charlotte and works in Charlotte, actually. And so I watched online the actual city council when they voted down the first time. They thought it would. So I was afraid this might happen.
Terrible.
I can't wait to get Ann's take on this. I think she's calling in now. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
We're going to play a good friend of our show and a good friend of Ann's, John Williams over at UBN Radio. He's been so kind to lend us his music. So we're going to play a little, just for Ann, a little live and unedited version of John Williams' Get Here When You Can, because we want Ann here whenever she can. So we'll be back on Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio in just a couple of moments with the wonderful Ann Walker.
You can reach me by rain. nothing can reach me with your mind. You can reach me by caravan, cross the desert I can ever make. I don't care how to get here, just get here if you can. You can reach me by sailboat, climb a tree and swing a rope, take a sled and slide down the slope into these arms of mine. You can jump on a speedy coast, cross the border in a blaze. Care how you get here, just get here if you can. There are hills and mountains, sweet love, always fall to get over. If I have my way, surely you will lose her. I need.
Producer John Williams, good friend of our show, with his live edited version of Get There When You Can. I just love that man. Well, our first guest is here. We're so excited to have her. She's a versatile actress, probably best known for her works in Del Shore's Sordid Lives and Southern Baptist Sissies, but she has appeared in numerous films and television roles all over. She's also a host of her own radio show on UBN Radio every Wednesday night. Called the Ann Walker Show, and we are so excited to have her on. She's just been such a big support and fought so much for her adopted family in the LGBT world. She's just a fantastic person to have here. She's a great mom, doting grandmother, and she's really the reason that Kevin and I met. So we're so happy to finally have her on her show. Please welcome the fantastic Ann Walker. Ann, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much, both of you, for having me on today.
Well, we appreciate you being on. Kevin is your biggest hero. You were the very first show he was ever on. He's what brought us together, and I appreciate you taking out time out of your day-to-day to be with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. As you know, I'm on my way to pick up my grandkids. Today is my day. The grandparents all take a day, and
there
so
you
we
go.
Can keep our relationship strong, and it's a wonderful opportunity for me. to do that.
I think that's super. I think it's super. And it's also proving another thing, that you multitask so well, darling. So thank you for doing this today as well.
Yeah. Well, driving and talking's my favorite thing.
Hey, that says a lot out in your coast, because I know what the roads are like out where you are.
Yeah. I'm actually driving the speed limit, which is good for me.
Good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got
it. Good. We want more time to talk to you. We want more time to talk to you, so take your time.
Okay. Well, they don't get out for free.
There you go. Before we get into our topic, Sam, let's let all of our listeners know. I mean, they've got to know you from your acting. We'll talk about that later on. But talk about the Ann Walker Show. You are such a great voice for the LGBT community. And as a straight ally, you could talk about anything in the entertainment world. And you've picked our community to really help represent and fight for us. How did that show come about? And talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, Tony Sweet, who owns UBN Radio. He had a radio show, and he interviewed me about 6 years ago, right after we did Sorted Live, the TV series. And I had such a great time with him. I had not done radio before. And a couple of weeks after that, he called me and asked me, he says, I'm losing my co-host. Would you like to come co-host with me? I said, I don't know anything about this, but yeah. So his was mainly an entertainment-focused show, which was fine, and we did that. But I think I brought in more of the news of the day of what was going on out in the world when we would do the show. So then he left this one station, went to another that he started with a buddy of his, and called me and asked me if I wanted my own show, and I, of course, said yes. And then there follows the idea of what is it going to be about, you know? And my fan base, such as it is, is the LGBT community. And I couldn't imagine anything that I would prefer to be supportive of than the people who have supported me. You know?
So
that's really why. And then politics, my God, I'm just such a rabid Democrat. So that was a no-brainer too, you know?
Yeah.
And then
Tony
and I started UBN about 3 years ago, and I was co-owner with him. So I sold my shares of the company at the end of 2014, and I've actually enjoyed not having to go to work every day. Great.
There you go.
Now, how did you and Scott Nevins meet?
Through my friend Emerson Collins. Actually, Scott, I'm trying to recall. These things sometimes are so difficult to recall, how you meet.
Yeah.
I just loved how
you guys treated me, by the way. On the show, I felt like I was the most welcomed person in the world. And for your first time, you know, for me, my coming out, let's say, I just said to Scott earlier, both you, and this is difficult with two Scotts that I'm talking about here, but I love them both, so it doesn't matter. But, Anne, you and Scott made me feel so welcome on your show that it was just, it's still a highlight of, for me, this past year and this amazing journey in last year where all of this has happened. So, again, thanks to you, and thanks, Scott, again.
I will, for sure. Now, what we were doing when I found you, as I told you, was off the Huffington Post. On your blog, I was reading that, and I was doing a series of educational shows about the different people who make up the LGBTQI, you know, that whole banner. And you when you said you were bisexual, I thought, God, I love him. Terrible what happened to you was after 20 years of teaching and all that, and we found out much more about that particular what do you call that segment, I guess, of the LGBT community.
And right, the B.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, the B. And you speak so well about it and demystified so much for everybody. And that's what I was trying to do with the we had an intersex person on. She's been on. I call her she because she goes back and forth. She doesn't Hita Viloria. She's fabulous. And so well spoken. She's the United States National Intersex Alliance or Association. She's the head of it for the U.S. And she's just wonderful. And she really brought a lot of information, as have you and the other people, you know.
You do it so well, dear. You do it so well. You really do. And at those of our listeners that are looking for something else, and I'm sure there's not as many that we have, but anyone who's listening to this and hasn't listened to Anne and Scott's show, please do, because it is a hoot and it is fun. And again, I you know, certain things live up to it. I mean, we try to keep this show positive, and we try to talk about actual results, people that use expression for positive results. And that's why you're one of my heroes, Anne. But, you know, you also on yours, and I love this, you, as you said, bold and brassy is you, because you really do say, I love the fact that we can talk about current events and affairs, but also that you have an opinion. So many people will talk about things, but they're so afraid or don't have an opinion that's informed. And that's what I like about you, dear. You call it like you see it, and I love that.
Well, I think we all should do that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we have to start taking up for one another. When we see bullying or people being treated less than, if we're in close proximity, we need to say something, you know?
Precisely. Hear, hear.
And sometimes, you know, if you're in the South, I don't know, maybe a person has a gun, so I'm not so clear on whether or not we would speak up. But I would probably speak up in Texas because that's where I'm from.
Right.
But,
good on you.
I do want to set one thing straight, though, Scott. John is no longer my engineer or producer. Never was my producer. But
that's right. Okay, you got Kurt now. I'm sorry. He was your engineer, and Kurt's now your engineer. That's right.
Yeah, right. And I still love John. I think he's a very talented fellow, but we sort of parted ways. And but I think amiably. I hope he does. But
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Well, but you're the reason we started the show, Anne. I mean, I'm so, like I said, I've been a fan. You know, I've been listening to your show all of the time. And when I started my show, I really did it because I listened so much to your show and to Dylan Emerson's show and to Tony's show. And I came from, like, an entertainment background doing my entertainment foodies and books, which is what my Left of Straight show is all about. But with all my background being, I was the chairman of the Pride Center here in Northeast Ohio and everything, I really needed to get back and do something serious. And when I saw Kevin on your show, I just thought, this has got to be something I got to do a show with. It would be a perfect marriage because you do that so well in your show. You go from entertainment guests to people from the Thrive Tribe to, like you said, bringing all the letters of our alphabet together. And just thanks so much for that.
Well, you're welcome. It's really my pleasure, and I don't really know what else I would talk about unless it was politics and LGBT policy, you know. And well, I think it's a never-ending struggle. We make a few steps forward, and then they throw us back, which just incenses me no end.
Exactly.
Yep.
Let's bring
you're
you into
correct.
It. Right before you came on, Kevin and I were talking about this whole thing. We have two things that I think I'd love to hear your opinion on. Of course, we have North Carolina now that the legislature and the governor rammed through negating Charlotte's discrimination law. And then we have Georgia now that has one pending for the governor to sign, but a lot of your friends in the entertainment industry, especially Disney and ABC and Marvel, are really trying to stop that from happening. But what's your opinion on everything going on in the South right now?
Well, unfortunately, the South is so far down on the educational spectrum that until we get better education for those people down there, which I think the governments down there, the state governments, are trying to keep them as ignorant as possible, And until we can get them better educated, get them to understand that we're all in this together, then it's not going to do any good, because they're living out of fear and ignorance, and that's what's motivating their bullshit, you know, that they're throwing at everybody. It just makes me crazy. Because I don't
know. And you know,
if
here's
any...
the thing. No, go ahead, dear. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know. I signed those petitions to those governors, you know, that says don't sign this. Well, they don't care. They do not care.
Right.
So hopefully the people who do care can vote them out. That's the only real weapon we have, is education and our vote.
Yep. Hear, hear. Yep.
So
you're absolutely right there.
Dave.
No, I was just going to say, because you guys taught me well, you know, and I'm a quick learn, you know. I'm not trained as an entertainer. I mean, as a poet, I sit there in the dark with a pen until I get it right and then let it go out in the world. So, you know, I mean, when it comes to the whole radio thing, I'm always, you know, I call my poetry bare knuckles poetry, and this is really shooting from the hip, but you guys bring it out of me, and so I say it. But I was on a show also, I don't know if you've heard of this, Same Sex Dialogue with
Kim
Style and... K-Town and Kim Style. They're brilliant. They're really wonderful. And they come out of Knoxville. And I'm going to be doing their show again, you guys now, because ever since this has happened with the Healing Stigma program, I'm doing this weekend. I'm on, what is it, Out in Santa Cruz with Rob Watson. He was another one of our guests, and brilliant executive director, I think, or one of the directors at the Good Men Project. But then the week after, I think around the very beginning of April, I'm going back on. And they were the same reason they had spotted one of my articles in the Huffington Post. Same-sex dialogue. These two, I love them. I tell them they are my favorite celesbians, and they love that term. So I'm not using it without them knowing it. But they are absolutely wonderful. But they're down in the South, and so I'm going to bring this up with them, because they are, you know, again, they're doing the same thing. They're asking questions. They want to be informed. Because all I'm going to say is, statistics show in the South, we have our brothers and sisters there. We're there, and we have the right to vote, and we have the right to schools and education. And you're right. So this is the whole thing. It's not like we're not there. And, you know, the Internet can be good or bad. So this is where we need to use it and need to know what to download onto our, you know, iTunes instead of listening to things that are bad. Or sometimes it's, you know, I'm not downing music, but when you want to be an informed mind, there are certain things out there that are bringing you the truth.
That's right.
I'm going to bring these questions up with them when I ask them about how it is down there, because, you know, they're really informed, and they asked me some great questions, and they were one of the first ones to ask me just what it literally, they wanted to know my emotions when the ambush happened to myself and my wife, and the news cameras came on and the whole stigma thing. They were one of the first ones. They wanted to know how it emotionally felt, and it was really amazing. But after that show, I told them, I said, I was exhausted in a good way. They're great at asking questions.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because it is a big, your life was completely blown up. For lack of a better word, your life and your wife's life were completely blown up. And the stigma was placed on you after giving 20 years of your goodness to your profession. I was just shocked.
Well, here's the thing, dear. I told you, I don't know if I said this the last time I was on the show, but the crazy thing is now I'll have students sometimes come to say like a poetry reading that I'll be doing, and they'll just be like, oh yeah, we get it. Now the world is your classroom. Now people love to see that connection, but you have to go through a lot of, you know, I marched through a lot of coals in hell with just my wife and a few others beside me. And that's why I said, if I come out the other side, I've got to figure out how to share this, because, you know, if you don't figure out how to share it, a lot of people after a situation like that, they want to hide. They want to just try to go back to normalcy, but you really can't. You can't undo it. Not with the Internet. You know,
that's right.
You can't undo these things. So if you can figure out, and I have that knack for teaching and I miss it, and I also have the knack for writing. If you told me at the time when it happened, it would result in a Lambda Literary, you know, being named a finalist and all these other great things, meeting folks like you and Scott and having the chance to, you know, again, still teach a lesson. But what I feel, I love Frost, I love Dickinson, I love Yeats, but this is life-changing lessons here about people who deserve representation in their government so that they have common public access to the things that we all deserve, and never to be called anything like a bathroom bill that already throws stigma before a vote is cast.
You have that capability that I certainly don't have, and that is to put together this program, this Healing Stigma program, that can go everywhere and be for everybody. And
I'm presenting next week, dear. I'm presenting next week to one of the Washington committees, so you got to send me all your good vibes, all right?
Oh, my God, yes. This is important.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
You witnessed this firsthand, didn't you, going back to Houston? Didn't you visit some relatives right when that Houston ordinance was getting ready to go through the HERO law? And didn't you have to how was that firsthand? I mean, you have some relatives that aren't exactly LGBT friendly, we'll say. how did that trip go?
Well, it didn't, as you might guess, it didn't go well, and I got into big fights with everybody. But then we've always fought. So I don't really think anything different about it. It's just they're all so bullheaded that there's no way to talk to them. You know, they think they're so right and they're so embedded in their rightness, their righteousness or self-righteousness, that there's no way to talk to them. So I always talk when I'm down there. I mean, I'm always my sister, whom I adore. She, you know, was for this stupid bill, and it was because of the bathroom thing. I said, Beverly, it's so much more than a bathroom thing. I said, it has nothing. I said, she's very limited on the number of gay people, but she goes with me places, and she knows gay people, and she knows that I would trust my life to a drag queen. My God.
Right. But, you know, here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing, Ann. Isn't this amazing? We know now that those people who are, you know, sometimes we give you the shirt off the back that are wonderful in some ways to someone they feel is of their, you know, tribe, clan, community, whatever you want to say, that's like them. You know, they have good intentions, right? We know that. But they'll get their news from something that no longer has a dialogue or an education or an information about that bill. So all they hear, and we know it, if they're watching certain channels, certain news streams, it's only going to give them the fear. It's only going to give them what, you know, what they want to, in a way, what they're already trained to hear and doesn't disrupt. So I literally watch this. I try to watch where real news, let's say, where real journalism, and that's why oftentimes I'll go and look at something, try to find out how it's being covered by the BBC, let's say, on their American side, because that's where sometimes I'll still get both sides of the issue. But it's really hard in some places to get both sides of the issue on one news channel.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder.
And it's so disheartening, especially for the people of Charlotte. I mean, they, like I said, this is the third arrow in the thorn, basically. The first time was last year when they had the first city council, and they had so many great people standing up for it. They thought the city council was going to pass it, ended up not passing. Then they ended up bringing it back last month and finally did get it passed. And now the governor takes away everything that, well, the legislature did it first, the governor just signed it, takes away everything they're working for. And the people, there's a great LGBT community in Charlotte. Like I said, my brother lives south of there in Rock Hill.
Well, Ann, you were like
the belle of the ball, I think, when they had, you and Del go there like not too long ago? And there was just, the crowd went crazy when you came on stage.
Last year, we were there for Pride. And I'm actually going back in October to do a benefit for Different Roads Home, which is a charity event. But I'm going to be doing a production 3 nights of Sorted Live, the original play. And they're casting it there. And then, but I love Charlotte. I have some dear friends who live in Charlotte. So it's just, and the Human Rights Campaign also has a very strong community there too.
Well, by the way, I just wanted to let you guys know that the human rights, the president, Chad Griffin, has already been quoted in a statement in the BBC saying that they're going to be, they've already pledged to push for the repeal, and they're looking at all legal options. So they're on the record saying that. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted our listeners to know, because we were saying earlier, you are not, the world is watching, the world is listening. This is not going on without it being reported, and that's so, so important for this information to get out there so that people can respond accordingly. That's the education. It doesn't matter what school, doesn't matter the educational background. Find it on the Internet, get it correctly, and then you know how to respond to your representatives. Sorry,
right.
Go ahead. Yep.
No, I was just going to say that right now with the Supreme Court being split like it is, if it does go to the Supreme Court and it's split 4-4, then it's going to revert back to the lower courts of whatever that is. I'm losing my word.
The lower court of appeals, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, it seems like there's no way to win anymore. No way to win.
All right, well, we can't have Ann walk on and not go into politics, talk a little about Sordid Lives. I want to talk about Child of the 70s. Let's take a real quick break because I know you got to pick up the kids. We don't see how much time we have. Let's take a quick break and listen to Jay Knight, who was our guest last week, that has proceeds from this song called Kill Me Now. Fantastic, upbeat, power song. He's on iTunes for 99 cents, and part of the proceeds go to Stand for the Silent, an anti-bullying campaign. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Ann Walker here on Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio.
Collide the sharpest knife. A trail of pain is left behind. We live in fear of constant torture. The sight.
Sorry about that. That was Jay Knight with Kill Me Now. All the part of the proceeds go to Stand for the Silent Foundation. You can find it just at 99 cents on iTunes and Amazon. We're back with the fantastic Ann Walker. And we can't, like I said, can't have Ann on. We'll talk a little bit of politics. We have this horrendous, it seems like, I just listened to your show the other day when we talked about Paris, and now we have Brussels going on, and our presidential contenders on our Republican side are just going crazy, Ann.
Well, it's the most embarrassing time I think I've ever seen. I was around, I guess, as a little kid when Eisenhower was president. That was my first president. And then...
Wow.
All through these years, I mean, obviously I'm old, but I've never, except when George Bush was elected, that was when I got scared. I was very, very afraid of his presidency. And as it turns out, we all should have been. But even when Reagan was president, I didn't fear. But when if the Republicans, God help us all, if Donald Trump were to get into the White House, I honestly don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
And the man,
it's going to keep business. It's going to keep Kevin in business forever. The stigma going on with between the two of them and the Muslim community and everything
that's
going
on. That's not the reason
right
why
now.
I want to be in business. I do not want to be in business because that man gets in the White House. No way.
Isn't that
but you're right. Yeah.
And now they're infighting back and forth about each other's wives, and it's just the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, it's stupid. I mean, look at Melania Trump. My God, the woman was a naked model. And I don't think she can barely put two words together. So I don't even, and she's a subservient idiot to her husband. You can tell that. She says whatever he tells her to say. She doesn't have a mind of her own. And I'd hate to see the girls, the little girls in this United States of ours, try to pattern themselves after her like they have with Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama is so incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible.
You know, here's the other thing, too, though. I mean, while they rip the party apart, I mean, while you've got, what is it, Ted Cruz saying that police ought to, you know, profile, go through Muslim neighborhoods. You know, we've got Trump just coming up with, you know, on the day that the world is standing with Brussels, even if there's mistakes made in policing it, let's face it, those people didn't deserve what happened to them. So, you know, I lived in Europe for 10 years. And I moved over when there was Clinton was president. I was there during the Bush years, and it was amazing the changes I saw living in Europe as an American.
Yeah.
You know, and there were times I was the only American in the room, and people were asking me to explain the whole country, and I'm like, I can't explain the whole country. I can explain, you know, this craziness of, you know, people that can literally take the shirt off their back and help you, some of the most wonderful people and places I've ever been to, and also at the same time look at not knowing how to regulate guns. You know, Europeans look at that like it's crazy. So now the world is standing with Brussels, and yet this man, Trump, is talking about pulling out of NATO. You know, I'm like, so you're absolutely, you know, it's so scary, it's so frightening. But here's the one thing. I just got to ask this, Ann, because you always call it like you see it. There was a time when people were saying here that he was a plant in there to rip apart the Republican Party. But regardless of what that is, whatever this is, it's gone way too far. And what it's showing of the Republican Party, to me, is so frightening. I mean, anyone that could – any party incite – what was it? The possibility of riots if you don't get what you want in politics.
Yeah.
To me is
yeah.
– I mean, I don't know how that can be carried – you know, that's not newsworthy. I don't know how that could be carried on, you know, on regular media. It's not newsworthy. It's horrible. It's inciting violence.
Well, there are some groups that are trying to take him to task about that, and slap a some kind of arrest warrant on him for that.
Yeah.
Because if you holler fire in a crowded movie theater, you're in trouble. That is a felony. So
right.
I don't know what
right.
the difference is when you are inciting all these people to do something.
Yeah.
But I, in the beginning, I actually did for about a minute think that maybe they're right. Maybe he is a plant. However, I think that as time has gone on, we've seen his narcissism sort of run rampant over the whole thing. He doesn't give a shit about America. He just wants the title of president.
Didn't I read? I could be wrong, but he has like hundreds and hundreds of companies, all of which have his name on it. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of, and let's face it, when you're a businessman on this side, when you're a businessman, you know, some companies fold, some companies work, and you've got to keep going, and you don't give up. And we love that entrepreneurial spirit in America. I mean, you know, that what is it? The other day I was reading a biography on Edison, and he didn't really invent the light bulb. He bought all the existing patents on it, and then he literally had a fictitious press conference saying he had done it just to put everybody else out of business, and then told these guys to go invent the light bulb. This is true.
I just heard about that. I did actually hear that story.
Yeah. So the amazing thing here is it almost is like he's trying all these different things, like, what is it, The Apprentice or whatever. I never watched it. And it's like, okay, I'll try running for president. And now as it preys on fears, sound bites, and not delivering information, it suddenly is working out. And that's what's so frightening is regardless of who it is, that this opportunity to incite – you know, this idea of whatever this whole entire campaign organizational thing is, that it can allow inciting of violence and fear as opposed to talking about all this time and money that has been spent by good people donating, regardless of which party, because they want an America that they're proud of. It has resulted in this kind of, quite literally, you know, drivel and crap and violence. It's horrible. It is a real bastardization of the system. But it's almost as if, you know, he tried out a part or a role and it's working, so I'll just keep going with it.
That's exactly right. I agree 100%, Kevin.
Because he almost looks frightened. His eyes to me look frightened. When people are asking him questions, he always wants to hurry up and get off answering it. I can't remember any question that really has been directly answered with a substantive response.
And Cruz's smirk drives me up a tree. I can't handle to see Cruz smirk after every answer he gives. He gives that little sly smirk that's like, oh, you drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
At least we know one thing.
Live radio in three different locations there. Sorry about over-talking there. Go ahead, Ann.
No, you go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was just going to say the great thing is regardless of what anybody says, I do know that when I have seen all of these things happen, the only thing I can compare this to for me personally was the really dark times in Belfast, because everything that was being said was being said so horribly while bombs were going off. There was terrorism. There's in a microcosm, there's almost everything that we have right now going on, just so people understand this. This is not the first time in history, politics and everything else, and death has come to the door of things that shouldn't have happened and resulted in both sides losing terrible, terrible lives. And here's the one thing I can tell you is this, and I've said this before, mothers in Belfast created that peace. And the one thing I know right now, and I'm not trying to do all this politics here, but regardless of what this other side says, I don't see Hillary looking that tired. And sometimes when men are throwing these kinds of things at each other, it takes a woman or someone with a different point of view to come up and go the distance. And she doesn't look tired, and that's something I really like.
I totally agree with that, too. I'm a Hillary girl. I really am. I think she's no matter what they say about her integrity or her truthability or whatever that truth is.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's coin this term. I'm a Hillary bi. If she's listening, if anyone from the campaign, I'm a Hillary bi. That's it. You know, if she needs that, I'll be here for her.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact that we talk about it like we do, I think that's important.
Yes.
But the other thing is with Hillary is that she gets it. She's seen it. She's been there on the front lines. She was sitting in there when we went in to get Osama bin Laden. You know, she was in that room and
She was the only one. She was covering. She looked upset, even though it was going on. She looked like a human being. I saw the pictures as well, and even though all that was going on, she still looked like a human being because you're watching some pretty violent stuff there. So, I trust someone like that looks like a human being to me more than someone who looks frightened like they're reading cue cards. Absolutely.
Right. Well, the other thing that I want to touch on real quickly is the fact that we do have to understand that the prison system and the way we deal with pot smokers and this and that,
yeah,
that are low-level misdemeanors, has got to change. And
yeah,
I also believe that when somebody goes in jail, they come out, they have been, to some extent, been rehabilitated, and they should get their right to vote back. I still feel that just recently, like yesterday or day before, it came out that the war on drugs was really set up so that it would target black people.
Terrible.
And get them in jail and get them. That was a way of voter suppression back then.
Right.
Terrible.
So we really
just have to
observe and make sure that Hillary and Bernie, I know Bernie's talked about this, so has Hillary, but we've got these bigger issues in the world right now, and I don't want to lose sight of what we need basically here in the United States. You know, we need our health care, we need things that really will raise the American person up rather than, you know, put them in jail. Well, listen, my darlings, I guess I should ring off.
Yes, we have to get you to do your grandmotherly duties. I want to thank you so much, Ann. We want to make sure we get there. Tell them real quick, if they don't know LaVonda Dupree, they're not friends of mine to begin with, but let's talk for 2 quick seconds before you go. Talk about Child of the 70s and the upcoming Please Don't Eat the Pansies, because you were on those shows and fantastic.
Well, I am very excited about this fourth season of Child of the 70s. Kiki has got a job now. She's gotten laid, and it was with Randy Jones, who is just gayer than ice cream. He's the cowboy. He's the original cowboy from the Village People, and the nicest guy you couldn't find. Very sweet. And here, I don't know, he comes and finds me, and it's a very funny, funny premise. And then Please Don't Eat the Pansies. I'm playing an Alzheimer's mother of this boy, one of the leads, and I have Alzheimer's. And his partner gets me out of the home where they've got me stuck in and brings me home, and it's better. It's a comedy. So
that's
you'll
brilliant.
See me doing some rather weird things. And and then we're going to start shooting Sorted Lives in May in Winnipeg.
Brilliant.
So excited for all that. Ann, thank you so much for your time. I want everyone to be sure to check out the Ann Walker Show. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time for us here on the East Coast. We also have AnnWalkerOnline.com. That's your website. And we really appreciate you coming on. You know I love you to death.
Thank you so much. You guys are just the best, and I really appreciate talking to you today.
I love you, Ann. I love everything you do, dear. You be safe.
Thank you. I feel the same about you.
All right. Kiss the grandkids. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, Ann.
Yeah, hug the grandkids.
Bye, darling.
Bye, dear.
Thank you. Bye.
How fun was she, Kevin?
Oh, my goodness. She's just amazing, isn't she? And one of the busiest people on the West Coast, and she still takes the time out to talk to us. I love her for that.
She is fantastic. I can't tell you how much I enjoy watching her show every week. The fun thing about UBN is they have the cameras. So you have, and as we can tell from our show, Ann is outspoken. She doesn't hold anything back. And her gestures and her expressions as she's going through her show are priceless, because she just tells it like it is. And it's like having your favorite grandma, favorite aunt, tell you like it is every week, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, and she's, you know, here's the thing. She's an informed person. And like I said, she's an informed person with an opinion. And I know, I mean, you know, I'm an old Boston Democrat maybe, whatever. But, you know, I've lived outside of the country for such a long time that there was a time when I came back and it seemed like everyone was polarizing. It used to be that the parties would talk to each other and people would debate and there would be real thing, you know, and then I kind of left and I felt like I came back and everything turned into a reality program in the time that I was gone, you know. And
right.
Ann is one of those people that, you know, here she is. She is an absolute consummate actor, actress. I don't know, what is the right thing? Actor, actress. anyway, she's a brilliant performer, let's put it that way. But then you go on the show, and I had seen her shows, and I was a fan of her, you know, from so many of the movies that she had done. But then you go on her show, and you're like, wow, the real Anne is also a whole nother, you know, facet of her that is so fascinating and so wonderful. And that's why I'm so happy that she does the radio show, because just her acting alone, her shows are brilliant. But then you get to hear her, and, you know, there's not a lot of people – I don't know how many other people like that come out and say what they feel and are also entertainers. You know, out in that neck of the woods, sometimes people kind of hold their cards close to their chest about what they feel. I love the fact that Anne can be Anne on the Anne Walker Show, and she can also make you laugh and do the other stuff that she does when she acts. I think it's brilliant.
Exactly. And like you said, it's all about being informed and taking the time to really to pay attention and to be plugged into the world. I mean, there's no point not to be and especially with her kind of platform that she has, bringing the attention she does not only to political, but to all the great LGBT causes as an ally is just fantastic.
And she's been an ally of yours too, hasn't she, then, in terms of, you know, now, you know, I hear more because I kind of just felt like it's really wonderful being discovered by Anne, and you having me on the show is just amazing, let's face it. But you guys really helped each other out as well in a way.
Well, she's one of the reasons that I started the show. I mean, we don't know each other that super well. I've just been a fan of her show, so I called into her show. So we know each other as a fan to her talk show. And then when I was thinking, when looking for something to do when Dad was sick and wanted to start my show, I kind of patterned it after Anne and Dylan Emerson, a lot of the UBN shows.
Yeah.
But she's just been a hero of mine, and her and Scott and the whole group over there. So it's great. It's great to learn from her. Like I said, she's able to seamlessly go from talking the entertainment world where she's from to going to politics, going to LGBT issues. I wasn't as good as that. I was kind of more of the entertainment vein of my other show. That's why I really needed this entire separate show and was so blessed to have you come aboard to be able to tackle these issues where we can still have fun. I think we're still a fun radio show, but we're actually talking the serious issues that I love.
You know, now, imagine this, and I know this is now scatterbrained, but I got to say this. For those listeners, when they check out that same-sex dialogue show that I was talking about, right? Now, imagine this. You've got two of the loveliest ladies you've ever met, and we're talking one of which has this amazing southern accent and can mix politics in with cooking.
Oh, nice.
It's just amazing.
Nice.
So you have to, because I know how much you love, you know, you love the food segments. So that's another thing that we have to, I think we're going to have them on the show. That's what we're going to have to see if we can do a four-way call. I know that's going to be, we're going to be totally talking over each other. But that's going to be one of those things where I think you would really get a kick out of what they do with food and how they bring up all current
shows.
Events.
Yeah,
well,
we have to have them on here and bring them on Left of Straight Show. That'd be fantastic.
Good. Good. Well, I'll put a good word in because, like I said, I think it's April 1st, unless they're fooling me, but I don't think they're fooling me about that. They're wonderful when they're on. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that. We'll make sure we have links up for all of that. Please check us out again if you've missed any of our episodes, everywhere from the fantastic Dr. Johnny Bowden to Jay Knight Music to the fantastic Robert Watson. It's just, we've had some great shows on. Please check us out at www.healingstigmaradio.com. And
that's
we have
the place
new
to
hashtag,
go.
Right. The new hashtag has been going in. We're just kind of starting to put that out. That's just Heal Stigma, hashtag Heal Stigma Radio. We didn't have room for the ING, but it's still there. And we're getting lots of followers on that, so that's all exciting. And we are going to have Eliel back very soon. We're so sorry to hear about his mother and glad that she's doing well. We're going to have to do a pre-tape interview with that and put that where we can because we have a couple of episodes already planned. So we're going to kind of finagle that a bit. Be sure you're watching the website, listening to our social media, know exactly who will be coming up next Thursday. But we will have Eliel on very soon. Name a couple of other great guests we have coming up soon.
Well, one of the interesting ones, I know because I'm the poet, I always kind of find out these moments that I'd like to have in radio, but we have the director, the new director of Mass Poetry. Now, this is an organization to raise awareness of poetry and arts and culture, you know, through the state of Massachusetts. But one of the things that's interesting, Sarah Siegel is the new director, and I first came in contact with them when they featured my book on the website as one of the, you know, new reads, new published poets in Massachusetts. So then I started asking what the website was about, and they had an article just at the same time as I was doing an interview with them about the fact that Massachusetts is one of, I think, four or five, that's it, states in the country that doesn't have a poet laureate. And now listeners might know that my publisher of my poetry is the state poet laureate in Connecticut, Rennie McQuilkin. So Sarah is going to come on the show and talk about what mass poetry is, and also this idea of expression, what it is to try and get a movement going to recognize a poet laureate. And if Massachusetts, you know, for me personally, if Massachusetts can't do, when we think of the history we have here in poetry, I there's just so many that I can name, and that we've never had a poet laureate of Massachusetts just blew me away. So we're going to have a state poet laureate on, we're going to have Sarah on, and I think it's going to make for some really good radio, because there are so many people nowadays that are joining different writing organizations as a way of expression, and they're really doing great work. And this idea of making a positive change, as we say, positive results, they're going to talk for the first time on our radio show, Scott.
That is fantastic. And speaking of poetry, once again, if there's a snowstorm or something happening in Northeast Ohio, I'm under the covers with some hot chocolate and watching a good movie. You have a single one-day snowstorm last week, and you write an entire new poem. Talk about American Spring just a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was just one of those days. It happened to be three things cross-pollinated in my mind. It was the International End Discrimination Day. It was also World Poetry Day, and we woke up here to a really freak spring snowstorm. And it was just one of those things where American Spring came to me. I wrote it in a day, that day, and I sent it out, and people can see it. We'll have it, you can click on it through the website or whatever, but it's just one of those things. Sometimes, usually for me, because to be honest, I let things sit for years before I publish them. I'm about four or five books ahead of the first debut one. There's always a lot that I sit on the shelf to make sure it's good. But sometimes a timely thing like that, when End Discrimination Day and World Poetry Day happen at the same time, it really it moved me. So I pulled the levers and I let it go.
Well, it's terrific. It's short, easy to read. Those of you listening to us on Stitcher and iTunes, anywhere, go to the replay on Blog Talk Radio where you can actually see it. We have it in the slide presentation room there, so you can actually read the poem on there. And I think we've done another great show.
Absolutely, and we got the grandkids picked up in time.
Exactly. It's only going to be about 12 minutes over this time. We're kind of averaging between 5 and 15 minutes over. We're doing pretty good. We're at 12 today,
yep.
So we're doing good. We're learning,
to
talk.
Yeah, and kept us sharp. No, that was fun. That really was.
Well, we're so thankful for having Ann Walker fill in the last second for us. She's just a fantastic guest. And Ilio, we're going to have you on very soon. Looking forward to recording that, hopefully the next week or so. He is so busy with that New Faith in America Foundation that he just took over.
But we're
going to have him on
as soon as
possible. I believe we're going to have the poetry you spoke about next week. Of course, in April, we have the amazing Margaret Cho coming on.
Yeah.
It's just getting better and better, my friend.
Absolutely. It really is. And, thank you for everyone that has been in any way downloading or listening. Keep sharing. Keep spreading the good word, because it's getting out there. And Healing Stigma is on Left of Straight Radio is something that's, I think, really, really worth sharing with friends. We're always going to try and make it better every week. And that's because my good friend here, Scott, motivates me every week to do so. So thank you, Scott. Another great one.
You are very welcome. Thank you. We are having a great time. Remember, go visit the website, www.healingstigmaradio.com. Join us in the conversation on Twitter at Heal Stigma Radio. And go ahead, and we're going to play out tonight another song by the fantastic Jay Knight, who was with us last week, playing his song, which one am I playing here real quick? I forgot which one I was going to play for a second. Good. This live radio is so much fun for us, Kevin, I tell you. We're going to play Hotter Than the Sun. It is Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. I am Scott Fullerton here with Kevin Hogan, and we will see you next Thursday, 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Everyone have a great week.
Reflect your
Traverse this ocean.